everybody. It's Chuck and Stacy from VO Buzz Weekly.
And you are listening to Geek. One more.
Hey there, this is BZ Collins, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Welcome to the latest GeekCast Radio interview. I'm, of course, TFJO and Mike, and I have the pleasure of chatting with Mr. BZ Collins. This is going to be one hell of a brightest day off, and then another blackest night out. Hi, BZ. How are you?
Yeah.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Everything's everything. If I was any better, I'd be guilty.
Let's hope not. No guilty verdicts here. I don't even know how I found you, but I found you back in 2020 with the shorts, with the in brightest day off and in blackest night out. But I don't know if it was a recommendation from somebody. I don't know if I have no idea. But I've known about you for a while, and in preparation for this, I'm going through, like, every part of your film. I'm like, oh, my God, he was on CSI Vegas. He was on this. He was on Chicago Med. He was, like, you're everywhere, dude. How are you everywhere?
Yeah, dude. Well, the situation, especially with In Blackest Night Out and In Brightest Day Off, I think the way we found each other is that once I started releasing the films, I promoted them on a lot of the nerd and geek Facebook pages. And I got some positive reception for embodying Jon Stewart, you know, because, you know, there are quite a few people like, dude, you look like him. Dude, you sound like him. Dude, you're built like him. Well, I mean, that was the original conclusion I came to back when they changed his look in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon.
Right.
So I'm like, well, you know what? I kind of look like the dude. I'm kind of built like the dude. I sound like the dude. Why don't I just go ahead and be the dude? That's when I started writing the first film.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, man. Your John is very good. Very good.
Thank you, man.
And I didn't. So when I was, because when I rewatched both of them, and I was looking, is it in Bright? I forget if it's in. I think it's in Brightest Day Off that Diggle calls him. It calls you at one point.
Did that on purpose.
I know you did it on purpose, but I'm like, wait a minute, because I'm sitting here thinking, holy crap, they got David Ramsey. That would be amazing. And then I looked again. I'm like, oh, it's BZ pulling double duty. I'm like, oh crap, how did that fool me?
Don't get it twisted. I did reach out to David Ramsey on social media. I tried to get him in to come and do a cameo, but I couldn't reach him. Now it's come to the point, because now I'm actually a working actor in Hollywood.
Right.
I know the better means and ways to reach out to celebrities and actors,
right,
and see if I can get them to work with me or not, as opposed to just social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I will say, as I was watching In Brightest Day Off, I tend to, so again, I remember watching the shorts a couple of years ago when you released them, but when I rewatch things, I tend to focus and make sure I notice as much as I can. And I had to, like, rewind it, like, four times. I'm like, that is the VO Buzz Weekly mug in his hand. How the hell did that happen?
So, if anyone is familiar with VO Buzz Weekly, it is a, I guess you could call it a voiceover podcast slash video podcast created by and hosted by Chuck Duran, who is a voiceover demo extraordinary, and his and his girl Stacy J, who's also a voice talent. Yep. And so thing about it is Chuck Duran produced my first movie trailer demo.
Nice. So,
you know, I connect with him and, you know, I got me some merch. I actually, when if you look at In Brightest Day Off, I'm also cooking. I also have a VO Buzz Weekly apron that I was going to use.
Oh,
like, you know what? Let me go ahead and let me just go ahead and bring in the, bring in the mug. And I showed the film to Chuck and he was over the moon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've talked to them one or two times, maybe only once, but we've talked to Chuck and Stacy a couple of times because I've got voice promo. So I ask everybody, celebrities, non-celebrities, whoever it is, to do voice promos for us. Just like, hey, this is insert name here and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, whatever it is. Yep. And when I asked Chuck and Stacy to do them, Chuck just kept stumbling. So we have a clip. He eventually gets it out, but just the way. Oh, I love that dude. He's so awesome. I got to reconnect with him at some point.
Yeah, he's not only is he a talented demo producer, he's a talented musician.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Guitar player for Rock Sugar.
Yeah, him and his band, they kill.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. So before we get started, is there anything you can reveal to us in the world of VZ Collins, any upcoming projects that you're allowed to talk about? If you're not allowed to talk about them, then obviously we can't talk about them. But what's coming up? What's going on with you?
Well, yeah. Actually, for those of you who've not seen any of the short films that I've done for John Stewart Green Lantern, I'm actually working on film number 3. It's going to be a trilogy. So, I was going to leave it alone, but I got talked into it by a gentleman out of the UK who writes for DC Comics News. And he is solely responsible for both of my films having multiple articles in DC Comics News.
Can I guess? I bet I know who it is. Steve J. Ray.
Steve J. Ray.
Holy crap, dude. Yep. Yeah, I love that dude. He's awesome. We did I did a comic book origin. I do these origins things where people come on and I ask them 30 or 40 or whatever questions about comics, cartoons, toy collecting, whatever it is. And I had Steve on for the comics, and yeah, Steve's awesome.
Yeah, he is. I've been on a couple of podcasts with him. He is an absolute pleasure. I mean, he is, I've never met him, you know, personally, but I do consider him friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's probably one of the, yeah, that's probably where I found you, is probably one of those articles from DC Comics News.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure he probably sent that my way or something or other. And yeah, man. Wow. That's awesome. Small world.
And, you know, it's, I'm like, you know what? I'm working on film 3. The first two films are A Day in the Life of a Lantern. Right. This last film is not going to be that. You know, most people expect when it comes to either fan films or superhero films, they expect the powers and the fighting and the this and the that's right. Associated with the particular hero.
Yeah.
This particular film is going to be all of that. It's going to be powers. There's going to be fighting. There's going to be intergalactic space, killing, everything. CGI, the whole shebang. We're going all out with this one.
Nice. That is so awesome.
Yeah, and it's going to close the whole thing off. You know, I have several. There are going to be several Justice League cameo appearances that I have lined up. Hero appearances that I have lined up that are going to satisfy the comic heads, and that's why I did what I did with the first one by bringing Diggle in, because
yeah.
I was also, as an actor, I was also promoting myself so that I can get into the Arrowverse as John Stewart.
Yeah.
And I didn't want there to be any confusion as to John Stewart not being John Diggle.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I did that on purpose.
So with Brightest Day Off, it is like we were saying, folks, these are short films, but Brightest Day Off was 7 minutes 17 seconds. Blackest Night Out was 1628. So the third film, how much longer is it going to be for a short?
At probably 35 to 40 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so, so cool. All right. It's, well, let's.
It gets to 6 minutes. Then it's called. Then it's a feature.
Yep. There you go.
We're going to keep it in short film format.
Well, that's good. That's awesome. Yeah. Shorts are great because, I mean, okay, short form film format is great. I don't necessarily want to say shorts are great because YouTube shorts just kind of, I don't know, man. It's doom scrolling. That's all it is. It's doom scrolling. You watch one. Okay, I've watched this one. It either will automatically scroll. I'm sorry. I'm ranting. I shouldn't be ranting about the short film format is awesome because you have a finite time to tell a story. And a lot of people that I've watched that have done these have done such a good job. And yours were two of the best that I've seen so far. And it just make I'm like, okay, we've got shorts. We've got short number three coming. Let's get the features going.
Well, I mean, eventually, you know, I mean, the craziest thing, man, for me is I never intended on doing any of this stuff. I never intended on being a writer. I never intended on being a filmmaker. I never even intended on being an on-camera actor. The mm-hmm. only thing that I wanted to do was voiceover. That was all I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to work in entertainment, make entertainment money, but have a semblance of normalcy in life. And that's what voiceover brings.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, oh, hey, dude, we need you for this because you fit it. All right, do it. And then there was just an avalanche. Yeah. So I'm all right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and ride the wave. See how things go. And it's been great. My on-camera career has exploded. You made mention about, you know, talking about some things. There's a film, it's in post-production currently called Summer, Winter, Spring, or Fall. And that is with a young lady named Jenna Ortega.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that film. I have a scene or two with her. And I actually worked on another film probably 6 months later with a young lady named Mira Sorvino. And the DP on that film was the same DP as the Jenna Ortega film. And he goes, hey, BZ, remember that thing you did back in December with Jenna? I'm like, yeah. He goes, it's in post right now. But the word is once it gets released, it's going to be in like 2,500 theaters. I'm like,
wow.
What? It's about to be big, bro. You're about to be seen. I'm like, oh, okay.
Let's go. That's right. Let's go.
Let's Holy go. Crap. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And I'm trying to think. Like, I watched I watched it on IMDb at first, the trailer clips that they have on there. And I saw you were in General Hospital. You were, yeah, like, what was that like?
Dude. Being on a soap opera set is fast paced. I literally worked for 15 minutes.
Wow.
I was on set for 6 hours because that's the nature of the business is hurry up and wait. My actual working time was 15 minutes. We got on set. There were four cameras in front of us. I'd never seen that before. I usually see one or two. There were four cameras in front of us. They had us do a rehearsal. All right, well, let's go. And then we shot one take. I flubbed a line. We shot it over. Okay, that's a wrap. And that was the end of the day. Just like that.
Wow.
Super fast. I'm like, I am not complaining, but I have never been in and out off of a set that quickly after delivering lines and whatnot. I just worked on a commercial on Tuesday in San Diego, and I was there for practically 9 hours just, you know, doing a part here. All right, BZ, we'll need you in 20 minutes. And then I go sit down and everyone else does their part. And I was the lead in the commercial. I can't speak to that one yet, but.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah.
But it was just, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. And with the soap opera is like, okay, BZ, let's go ahead and action. Okay, let's do another take. action. Okay, everybody, that's a wrap. And I was done.
Oh, God.
It was 15 minutes from the time I reported to the set to the time it was a wrap.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's I mean, well, you know, I'm. What was your character? Was it just a one-off character, I assume? Because even with the characters in soaps that are regular characters, I mean, if one of the actors leaves the next day or the next week, this role is now being played by blah, blah, blah. It's soaps are so fast.
Absolutely.
They might be faster than the Roadrunner, pretty much.
I've auditioned for multiple soap operas. I've auditioned for Young and the Restless 12 times. I must be doing something right because they keep calling me back. I just haven't booked it.
Right.
But I've auditioned for Young and the Restless 12 times. I just recently auditioned for Days of Our Lives. I auditioned for General Hospital once and got it.
Oh, man, that's crazy. So going from that to a chair in Spidey and His Amazing Friends.
You're crazy, dude.
I saw that clip and I'm like, holy crap, he's a chair.
Yeah. Something, you know, we were talking about voiceover earlier. I also produce demos and I also coach. And I'm actually supposed to be doing an audition preparation with a young man who is supposed to be auditioning for a series regular role on Spidey and His Amazing Friends. I'm waiting to hear back from his mom. We were supposed to connect today.
Oh. So,
I'm waiting to hear back from his mom so that I can get in there, get him online, and coach him through his audition so that he can deliver a solid performance, because we're talking series regular, dude. That's enormous.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is very, very big. Better Call Saul. Again, dude, you're everywhere. What the heck?
Again, unexpected, man. I wasn't going for this. You know, I had a bout with imposter syndrome. I'm like, why do y'all keep hiring me? Why do you keep paying me this amount of money to do this? I don't understand it. What do you want from me? But it just keeps happening, dude. So, like I said, I'm going to go ahead and just ride the wave and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, absolutely. And then voice acting, you've done, like you said, tons of promos, trailers, all kinds of stuff. So what is your favorite part about voice acting?
Doing it from home. again, man, like I said earlier, you know, you can work in entertainment, make entertainment money, but when all is said and done, you really have a semblance of a normal life and still work in entertainment.
Right.
But the situation just didn't happen like that for me, even though that was my ultimate goal, was just to do voiceover. And, you know, man, I can be literally walking around in my drawers and standing on a microphone and no one will be the wiser, and knock out the job and be done with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the greater things about it. The work, especially with animation is a blast, man, especially with the fact that, you know, just like with on-camera acting, you're pretending to be something you're not. You're not, you know, most of the time when you do animation work, you're not yourself. You're not being yourself. You're being something else. Mm-hmm. Now, with movie trailers and TV promos, then, you know, that's all you. Now, the dope thing about trailers and promos, especially for the cats who get the bulk of the work, they're in the high six, low seven figures. I'm not there yet. But that's a plus.
Yeah, that's a plus. Who are or were your influences in making you the voice actor that you are?
Oh, several. Don LaFontaine, who's no longer with us, he's the original dude with In a World.
Mm-hmm.
He's the dude who started that. Don LaFontaine, a gentleman I discovered at one of his books at a bookstore, Rodney Salisbury. He's the dude that if you're watching TV and a commercial comes on and goes, "You need a moment? Chew it over with Twix."
Oh, wow.
And he's also the dude that does the Jazz It Up with Zatarain's Dirty Rice.
That's amazing.
He's definitely a mentor. And primarily the reason is because my mother is also Salisbury. So we've been trying to find a family tie there.
Mm.
You got him, Rodney Salisbury, Keith David is my dude. So those are my voiceover inspirations right there. Keith David, Rodney Salisbury, Don LaFontaine. I mean, mm-hmm. there's some guys that are out there who are I'm cool with, you know,
yeah.
and, you know, we're homies or, you know, we're acquaintances or whatnot that we're, you know, we're just cool like that. Now, the voiceover community is actually a great community to be a part of.
Right. But
the inspirations are Don LaFontaine, Keith David, and Rodney Salisbury.
Yeah. I love Keith David's voice. That dude has such a great voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. Oh God! And the sad thing, out of everything he's done, the first thing that pops into my head,
I wouldn't trust with a potato gun.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God! Why is that the first line that pops into my head? He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Keith David. I would actually have to say Keith David is my blueprint for my current career. Keith, I don't know. I don't know if I could classify Keith as an A-list actor, but he is well known enough to constantly work.
Yeah. In
all areas, voiceover and on camera, and if he chooses to, on stage.
Yeah.
That dude keeps a check.
Yep. Absolutely.
That is the blueprint of my career. That is what I want. I don't care if I'm balling out of control. I don't care if I'm famous or not. I just want to keep working. So he's the blueprint.
Absolutely. Are there any characters that you've done in the past or are there any characters you think you might do that might be a throat ripper for you that might just destroy your voice?
No, I haven't. And I make absolutely certain that I don't even venture there. Okay. There's only one character that I am dying to do,
mm-hmm.
and I give the absolute ultimate props to the individual who has originated it, and I have nothing but respect for him. I'm gonna add him to the list of being mm-hmm. Peter Optimus Prime.
Yeah, you want to know what's funny?
Dude, that's the notification for my emails.
Yeah, check this one.
Autobots, roll out.
So, not to promote a different company or anything else in your interview, but if you go to Funko.com, I'm fairly certain it's still in stock. It's a Lights and Sounds Optimus Prime Funko Pop. It has the transform sound. It has him saying more than meets the eye and Autobots roll out.
That is dope. The thing is when it comes to shredding voices and ripping voices apart, what would normally do that would be video games that have violence and fighting in them.
Yeah.
So,
have you done many video games? I didn't notice that.
I would like to do video games, but okay. I do know that if I were to get on some kind of video game where it's revolved around battle, one thing we know we have to do is we have to get all of the dialogue out first. Yeah. And then at the end of the recording, when it's time to be finished, then any and all of the screaming and the dying and the horror, because we'll never be able to do that throughout the recording.
Yeah.
So we have to save it for last, because there have been voice actors who've had to take like 3 or 4 days off,
mm-hmm.
To get for themselves to recover. My thing is, and I've taken this road led by Ashton Smith. I don't yell. I don't go out there. I don't drink dairy. I don't go out and go into loud places or subject myself to loud noises, because a part of our job is also our hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take care of it. We have to take care of our instruments, our hearing, and our voices. So I don't yell. If somebody annoys me or bothers me or whatnot, I just refrain from yelling, because you have to take care of the instrument. If it's a video game, maybe you might have to do a little bit of ripping and roaring. But other than that, no, man, I don't subject myself to any of that. And being that I'm a performer and a subcontractor, I choose what it is that I work with or don't work with.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's very, very cool. Yeah, that's the end. I mean, I don't have a voice for anything, so, you know, I'm not going to be
like that. You do.
Do what? No, 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 no. I really don't. It's not. But my point in saying that is because I was born legally blind with optic atrophy and astigmatism, my hearing is like dialed up to 11. Kind of thing. In elementary school, the teachers used to use me at the end of the school day to go around to every classroom to hear if any of the Apple II computers were still on, because those things were loud as hell.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, as long as I don't have loud music blaring in my ears, I can hear a pin drop kind of thing if it happens. But luckily, I live in a quiet enough place where that doesn't really happen all that often. But yeah, I love hearing things. I don't mind seeing things. Like, the way I watch TV is if it's a show that I've watched before, it's background, I'll listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if it catches my attention kind of thing, maybe, oh, okay, I'll watch this. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You got to take care of the voice. You got to take care of your ears and all that stuff and everything else. And yeah, absolutely. As a kid, what was your influence? Like, what were you interested in? Cartoons, comics, what made you eventually want to be where you are now?
All of the above. Dude, I was a comic book head and cartoon head probably from the time I was six.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My favorite DC character. A lot of people think that my favorite character period is Green Lantern because, you know, I decided to go ahead and be the dude. But no, right. Green Lantern isn't my favorite. My favorite DC character is Shazam, always has been. And you know, I used to be enamored, even though it wasn't really it wasn't, you know, comic book source material. Mm-hmm. When the Shazam show, the Shazam Isis Hour would come on.
Yep.
Dude, I was in heaven. whenever I could, I'd see if I get my mom to go and buy me some Shazam comics. I got Shazam Under Ruse. Dude, I was Shazam obsessed. But I always knew from a young age that I wanted to be in entertainment. I knew that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know exactly what was going to happen or how it was going to come about. And then at 8 years old, I hit puberty like super early and my voice changed when I was eight. And so my family has been teasing me about my voice since the third grade. And yet here I am making a living using it.
Yeah, there you go.
As a matter of fact, this commercial I just did in San Diego is an on-camera commercial, but I got it because of my voice. I got CSI Vegas because of my voice. It was what they were looking for, and right. I got it because of that.
What was that like?
CSI Vegas?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. First, let me talk about the crafty and the lunch and the food.
That's CBS for you.
Oh, my God. Dude. But what the greatest thing was about being on that set was lead actress Paula. She was dope because with voiceover on camera is a different beast. And for voiceover, we don't have to remember anything.
Right.
On camera, we do.
Yep.
And so that's always been my hiccup is, you know, I always have this fear of just destroying and flubbing lines, mm-hmm. even though I've only flubbed in all of the projects I've been in. I've only flubbed like twice.
Wow. That's
and awesome. One of them was General Hospital. But, you know, Paula, man, she was just amazing, man. She we were sitting at the table. And she goes, hey, don't worry about this. You know, you got this. She took my hand into her hands and she was rubbing them, making certain I was warm. She's like, don't worry about a thing. You got this. Clearly you did. You know, you did right in the audition in order to get you here. You belong here.
Right.
So don't worry about a thing. You got this. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And this is the direction we'll go in. And she totally, completely put me at ease while, you know, three cameras are on me, and it's me, Paula Newsom, and Mari Helgenberger. And it's like, you know, these women are veterans, homie.
Yep. Yep. I mean, Mari Helgenberger, holy crap. Like, I haven't watched Vegas in a while, but I assume she's like the lead one in charge now that Grissom is gone.
Yeah, Paula Newsom is the lead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Paula Newsom is the lead in CSI Vegas now. Because now, my understanding, it's a reboot. They just
bought it. Okay. Right. Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. I loved all that stuff. I wish, it didn't last very long, but because, you know, once you have a hit show, CSI, you know, it goes for 5, 6, 7 seasons, you're going to do all this other stuff. You're going to do Miami. You're going to do New York. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. They did CSI Cyber for 2 seasons, and I'm like, oh, I want more of this. This is cool to me. And right. Then it only lasted 2 seasons, unfortunately. But it is what it is. So this third film in the trilogy for your Green Lantern stuff, can we get the exclusive on the title reveal?
Actually, you know what? It's not really that big of a secret. It's just it's another play on the oath. And right. it's super simple. You know, the first one is, you know, In Brightest Day, off. In Blackest Night, out. The name of this film is No Evil Shall Escape.
Ah, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, now you need to do, like, what, 7 more, or 3 or 4 or 5 more to finish the entire oath?
Yeah. And one of the processes when it comes to making stuff, making films and whatnot,
right,
is a budget, money. Yep. And so that's one of my situations. I'm almost finished writing the film. It's just a matter of, I have all of the characters in place. Right. Everybody's ready to go. I have a costume designer who is out of this world. And there's, like I said, there's going to be everything. There's going to be costumes. There's the CGI, the special effects, the fighting, the killing, the choreographed fights, all of that stuff, everything. It's all there. And again, several Justice League, as well as Green Lantern cameos, because if you noticed in the second film, there were 7 lanterns in that film.
Yep.
There's going to be a couple of lanterns that are going to be returning.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Poor Kyle. He got such a shaft in that second film. I always liked Kyle. He was cool.
So, hopefully I can get the money up, because my situation is, even though these are fan films and whatnot, I can't make money off of these films because they're already owned.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even try to do that. I just put myself out there. I'm like, look, I want to play John Stewart, the Green Lantern. Well, I have now, and nobody can take that away from me.
Yep.
Seeing Warner Brothers didn't have to acknowledge it in order for me to make it happen.
Yeah.
But it did happen.
Yeah.
And now it's out there, you know, on the internet for everyone to see that this dude who played John Stewart, and there's a good contingent of people who enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they're great. They're absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah, that third film is going to be awesome. What advice would you give people who want to break into voice acting?
The same thing that I did. Train. Find a coach. Because a lot of people think that just because you either have thunder throat or you have an arsenal of voices, that automatically qualifies you as being a good voiceover actor. It doesn't. It's a matter of you taking whatever is on that piece of paper in front of you and making the multitude believe that you're speaking with them individually. And that's when you win. But you have to train in order to be able to do that. A lot of people are like, oh, you mean all I got to do is read this? No, it ain't. It's an art form. It's acting. That's why it's called voice acting, because you can't get away from acting. So I tell people, get into an acting class, get into an improv class, because improv helps immensely with voiceover. So get into acting, get into improv, get in with a voiceover coach who's going to teach you the ins and outs of technique. And when it comes to dealing with this thing, don't just go and get yourself a $30, Yeti mic or snowball, Mike, and then all of a sudden call yourself a professional voiceover talent. Yeah, you got to get some training in you first. You got to get to know what the business is, in addition to honing your craft in the performance aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Anything else you would like to bring up, sir?
Let me see. What else is there? Oh, goodness gracious. Well, now that the strike is over, the audition is coming in like an avalanche. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, there's some major TV shows out there that are casting. Some of them are in their last season, and there are a few of them that I'd like to get in on. So,
fingers crossed.
Hopefully, prayerfully, you know, SWAT's about to go. It's their last season. Station 19, it's their last season. I'd love to be on one of those shows. I've auditioned for them both multiple times. I'd like to be on one of those before they go. There's a plethora of things out there. I literally have like a couple of auditions in my email box right now that I have to go and record, both voiceover and on camera.
Very cool. Very cool. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is basically in BZ Cullen's hands, folks. He's going to take over the world. We had John Stewart. He's turning into Sinestro. Holy crap. Oh man. Yeah. Like I said, I've always loved what you've done and what I've seen you do. And like I said, those first two films are great. And yeah, this has been awesome. So where can the fans interact with you online?
Okay. It's super, super easy. If you lose me, I'm going to have you commit it to like Arkham because it's criminally insane. If you do lose, everything is BZ the Voice, everything across the board. You can't lose me. YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Skype, my website, everything is BZ the Voice. Everything. You can't lose me. My IMDb, BZ the Voice. You cannot lose me. You absolutely can't. Letter B, letter Z, the Voice. All one word.
There you go, folks. All right. Well, we're going to take a little ad break, and we're going to come back to close the show right after this.
Things have been going really good for me, Stu. But right now, we have a situation, and I need your help.
So when do we leave?
Right now. But first, we have to make a stop. Green Lantern to Watchtower. Two for transport.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it, here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast. It's audio justice.
No, it's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked. No.
Well, speaking of powers, this is what I don't get about you. It's like, you have the most powerful weapon in the universe. You could use it to fly home in, like, I don't know, a minute? Here you are driving a freaking car.
This kid just doesn't get it.
No.
How many times I gotta tell you, man?
Mind your business.
Hey! Hey,
ain't nothing. Yeah, get a move on, kid. I'm starving.
If you let them in, we're going to have a big problem, Rainer.
All right, folks, we're back here on the latest Geekcast Radio interview with Mr. BZ, the voice himself, BZ Cullen. Collins. I had Peter Cullen in my head for a second there. I don't know why.
The craziest thing is whenever I put something out about Voice Optimus Prime, I always give him the shout. I'm like, yo, it's not Peter Cullen, it's BZ Cullens.
Yep.
But he's the dude. I'm trying to be the dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he is amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. So we'd like to thank Mr. Cullens for taking the time to chat with us here in this Geekcast Radio interview. Until next time, unleash the geek in you, and we will see you later.
Peace.
Guys, you'll never guess who's here.
Wow.
Seriously?
What the frickin' freck? Are you kidding me?
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.